I'd like to welcome everybody to the July 23rd, all of July Planning Commission meeting, Lawrence Douglas County Metropolitan Planning Commission. Let's start out. We have a couple people here who, we have at least one person who's new. So that person won't be voting to approve the minutes of May 21st. Why don't we start receiving and amending or approving?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I would move for approval of the May and June minutes of the Planning Commission.
All right. The only reason I broke it up is in case there's somebody
who was not
at both of them.
You're right. I'm sorry. We should take separate votes. I move for approval of the May minutes.
I'll second.
Seconded. All in favor, raise your hand, please. Any opposed? And abstentions? We have one abstention. Commissioner Lamer. Thank you very much. Now.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for approval of the June minutes.
Thank you. Seconded by Commissioner Blazer. And all in favor, raise your hand. Any opposed? And any abstentions?
I request an abstention.
One abstention. All right. Committee reports. Like to receive any reports from committees? Is there agritourism meeting?
The agritourism committee has not met, but we have been in meetings and communication with the county commissioners about the status of the text amendment, and hopefully we should have something to give to the county commission in the next week or two, and hopefully it'll move forward. There have been some substantial changes to the text amendment, I should add.
When will we be seeing that?
We won't be seeing it as a planning commission. My understanding from what Mary indicated is if the county commission substantially changes the text amendment, they can adopt it by unanimous vote. If it's not unanimous, then they have to send it back to the planning commission. And we're trying very hard to see if we can get everyone moving in the same direction and get everybody to consent to it.
Thank you very much. No MPO meeting this? No. All right. Communications. Planning staff, anything from the public, anything from anyone else, or any written action of any waiver requests or determinations?
Mr. Chairman, we did add one bit of communications for item 4 on the rezoning on 2645 Haskell Avenue that we posted to the packet this afternoon, and we added a miscellaneous item for a subdivision plat variance for St. John's Catholic Church development that we are working on.
Thank you very much. The next thing we do is to ask for any disclosure of ex parte communications. For those who are unfamiliar with our workings, ex parte communication is when any of us have spoken to anyone, any interested parties in any of the agenda items we're going to be talking about tonight. If anyone has done that, they report it. That's what I would like to know now. Any ex parte communications? All right. Seeing none, anyone abstaining from any specific agenda items? Any commissioners? None there either. All right. So we'll take the items in order this evening because I see no reason to do otherwise. Let's start with item number 1.
Good evening, Commissioners. Sandy Day, current planner. The first item we have this evening is for rezoning of property that is located along Congressional Drive and Overland Drive. This is a portion of a larger piece of property that had an original request for commercial zoning. The specific request is for the northern 6 acres of this entire parcel. It is currently zoned PRD, or Planned Residential Development. It includes a variety of different zonings surrounding it, multifamily on the south. This was a piece that we recently approved for commercial zoning on the east side of Congressional Drive, the Walmart. This is a piece of essentially undeveloped property to its west. This is within the nodal plan of 6th and Wakarusa. And we're just really highlighting that this property is that northern piece of that within that planning boundary. The plan supported medium density residential development, which is consistent with what this zoning request is. And then I might add that the planned residential development, the current zoning, also had a density of 15 dwelling units to the acre. So it's very comparable in terms of the zoning. It is consistent with the plan and is comparable with the zoning, as I mentioned. The balance of this property will be a request that's forwarded to you later in probably next month. Staff's recommendation for this rezoning is for approval, and there were no conditions associated with this request.
Is the applicant here, please? Welcome.
Okay, my name is Joy Ray, and I am representing the client tonight. I work for Paul Warner Architects, so we've submitted the application. And pretty much Sandy kind of wrapped it up in a nutshell, but this was previously zoned PRD, and so we're just asking that we move to RM15. It's just a little bit more straightforward for the 6 acres. That way everybody knows what's happening. And like she said, it's consistent with Horizon 2020 and what's been approved for the area. So I don't know that I can add much more than what she said, but if you have questions, I'd be willing to answer them.
Thank you. We usually go through a public hearing, and then we'd be happy to ask questions. So this is a public hearing. At this time, I'd like to open up the floor for anybody who'd like to comment or address this issue. All right. My predecessor went like this when the public hearing was closed, so that's what I'm going to do. How was that? All right. Up here to commissioners, questions about this proposal, rezoning proposal. Questions or motions? Commissioner Van Auken.
I'm just kind of curious to know, according to the packet, this would not change the density nor would it change the uses that are now permitted. So exactly what are the advantages to switching it to this category?
I think the advantage is probably more for the applicant. It puts it in the position of being a conventional zoning, so it would be subject to site plan review when they're ready to submit an application. The planned development zoning that we see today was specific to a particular plan, a particular layout that has essentially been abandoned. So it makes it a little cleaner for the applicant to move through the development process.
Other questions, comments, or motions? Commissioner Hurd.
If it's appropriate, I'd go ahead and make a motion and then explain my reasons. Let me get this up in front of me. I would move for approval of the request to rezone approximately 6 acres from PRD to RM15 based on the findings of fact presented in the staff report and forwarding it to the City Commission with a recommendation for approval. My reasons for making the motion and that we're
second first. Yeah, let's get a second. Do I get a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Blazer.
No, I can continue.
Commissioner Britton, you get the next one. All right.
The only two reasons I would point to is that the density, the comparability of the density of the RM15 to the PRD. The other thing that I noted in the staff report is that there was reference to it being an infill project, and I think those are generally favored in Lawrence as opposed to promoting urban sprawl. So, for those reasons, I made the motion.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All right, comes to a vote.
And for those same reasons, I second the motion.
I will. Thank you. All right, all in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Passed unanimously. Item number two. Item number two is a special use permit for 12th and Haskell Recycle Center.
Twelfth and Haskell Recycling is an existing business in Lawrence today. They are proposing to relocate their business from its current operation to this parcel that is surrounded by the railroad. This is within an industrially zoned corridor. We have a number of different zones that surround it. Across the other side of the railroad right-of-way is the city's wastewater treatment plant. This is just an aerial image of that area. One of the things I'd like to highlight is really the presence of a lot of existing vegetation as well as the building arrangement, which we've tried to also point out in the staff report, where much of the site really is not visible from the public streets. There obviously is, there's open area here along the railroad, but the rest of this, as we looked at from other views of other surrounding streets, you really cannot see back into this property. I've also highlighted where we have residential zoning in the area, because this is part of an overall neighborhood of mixed uses. Again, the current location, the subject, and then the yellow and orange colors represent the various residential zoning in that portion of the neighborhood. Most of these pictures were also included in the staff report to really exemplify the fact that we are taking a close look at how this relates to the surrounding neighborhood, what you can see from various views within that area. The proposed site plan intends to make use of existing structures that are highlighted on, I think it's page 3 of the 5-page staff site plan. Access to the site is provided via an existing access easement across the property and then across the railroad right-of-way into the site. There's a little piece of ground in here that is not part of this project. Just a couple of quick views of the property. Some of the fencing that we see today, this is an existing controlled access gate that goes into the main portion of the property, which will be retained through this project. And then this is a view coming over to the warehouse buildings that have access drive further over to this side. This structure is an existing structure on site located at kind of the south end of this property, and this is really the primary location for the office use and for the processing elements that would be included inside of the structure. And then the way this site is designed is that the smaller household user would be really working within this portion of the site, and then the applicant intends to have an interior access arrangement for the larger vehicles and for those kinds of exterior storage areas that are proposed associated with this particular project. There are a number of conditions that are recommended with the staff report to address the neighborhood compatibility issues, hours of operation, litter, those kinds of typical concerns associated with this kind of use. This just highlights the conditions that were part of the staff report. Staff's recommendation is for approval subject to those conditions, which would be a revision to the site plan to add several notes.
Thank you very much. Is the applicant here?
Brad Finkeldye, appearing on behalf of the applicant, Mr. Killo, who is present as well. And we also have Casey with Baldwin and West, who can answer any technical questions you have on the site plan. In short, I don't know that there's any reason to go through the history of the current operation. We certainly can if folks have questions, but this is an operation that's been in business for quite a while, and the neighbors have had some concerns about its current location, and Mr. Killo set about looking for a different location, and he found a location that we believe is a perfect location. It's an industrial zoned piece of property surrounded by other industrial zoned pieces of property. It has the wastewater treatment plant on one side, a railroad So any concerns about noise and sound, there's plenty of that in the area. There is, again, surrounding industrial property, followed by also property owned by the city that buffers it from the neighbors. Mr. Killo does own two of the adjacent pieces, one of the adjacent industrial pieces of property. Last week he sold the other one to the city of Lawrence. So the city of Lawrence will actually be neighbors on several sides of this piece of property. And so we believe it's a good location. It's properly zoned, so what we're here for is the requirement of a special use permit. And that special use permit, under the guidelines of the set conditions in which it would be appropriate to have this sort of activity in the zone. Now, in some cases, you could have an industrial zone right next to a residential zone, and so there might be big screening issues, or there might be, you know, berming issues or sound issues. But as Sandy pointed out, this has a lot of natural buffering, has a lot of industrial uses surrounding it. I think the only, those conditions in which we have no problem with any of the conditions, all conditions on hours of operation, which for any sound that does extend past the boundaries and extend past the noise of the railroad and the other city functions, we will be limited in hours of operation, which does not currently exist at the current location. There's no limits on the hours of operation. And we certainly don't have any problems with those conditions. And we'd ask you to support this.
Thank you very much.
This is a public hearing, so we would welcome any comments or questions or anything else you might have. Is there anybody here for this item, if you would raise your hand? Okay, good, we have three people. So if you would please come sign in, and we'll give you 3 minutes if you're an individual and 5 if you're representing a group.
I'm John McClure. I own the property that she pointed out that was not part of this procedure. And I'm not protesting this, but I wanted to make my position known and have some input into the final planning of this. Bo and I have talked a lot about this, and I kind of know where this is going, but I just wanted you to know that I exist. I own that building that's going to be right next to his property, and I don't want to be left out of the final plan.
We welcome you. Thank you. You want to put the map back up so we can see that property?
That building right there, yeah.
So I think you're saying you're not protesting it, but you just want to make sure that you're...
I just want veto power.
But no. Have you and the applicant had discussions about the plan?
We have had many discussions.
Amicable, I hope. Terrific.
But I have not seen the final layout that was presented here, and I'm concerned about location of fences and driveways and how this impacts my property.
We appreciate you coming.
So
thank you very much.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Michael Allman. I'm representing the Sustainability Action Network. We're a local not-for-profit organization and focused on ecological issues. Excuse me. I consider this quite a watershed event. I also live in Brook Creek neighborhood, where both the old illegal location was inflicting on our property rights, and the new location is also located in Brook Creek neighborhood. So I'm appreciative that the owner is now considering going a legal route and is going through a permit process that he should have done initially years ago. What I want to mention is that everything seems to be much better than in the previous location at 12th and Haskell. The primary concern that we had as neighbors and that my organization had was the environmental ecological impacts, the odors, the groundwater contamination, the noise, the fumes, everything else like that. Basically, very confined space, too small a site, and right next to a neighborhood. So in this location, it's going to be about a half mile farther away, but still that's very close to residential areas. Everything that you're looking at in the permit requirements, I'd like you to scrutinize that very carefully, but I'd like to make sure, and I want, this is my request, my organization's request, that the facility be 100% enclosed within a building. The code calls for either within a building or in a fenced area. Now, of course, fenced means solid fence for obvious reasons, visual, sound, things like that. Most of the recycling kind of facilities generally are more remotely located, like the one you looked at last month up on North 3rd Street. Also, at the September 12th, 2011 Solid Waste Task Force meeting, there were three presentations by contractors who, as you know, the city is considering curbside recycling and then putting out bids for the processing. These were the proposals that were brought to the Solid Waste Task Force from Ham Landfill, they call it their Eco Center, Waste Management, their materials recovery facility. These are all materials recovery facilities. And then Honey Creek Disposal Material Recovery Facility. Honey Creek is located in the old Lacey Steel building at Highway 24 and 32. You're probably familiar with the building. Also entirely within the building. I feel that everybody should be on the same page and subjected to the same conditions for a level playing field, but also for the benefit of all the neighbors, like the man who just spoke, and the neighbors within, you know, the half mile distance to the neighborhoods, but also for the brand new Polar Building Warehouse Arts District that is just a phenomenal project and taking off. That's also in the environs of this new facility. So for all kinds of reasons, this building should be looked at very carefully, or this facility, and be 100% within a building. The kinds of effects of recycling and processing centers, it's been noted in a lot of literature, but also it came clear when, through the intervention of my neighborhood, the reasons why these facilities are supposed to be in buildings, or at least very remote locations. They're some of the most intensive industrial operations that take place for all kinds of reasons. They're not just engaged in one manufacturing kind of activity. There's a whole range of activities, sounds, fumes, runoff, traffic, all kinds of things, as you probably have reviewed in the permit requirements. But as such, and because of these intensive activities, it should be given a lot of extra attention, particularly when it's so close to a neighborhood, and two neighborhoods, actually, East Lawrence and Brook Creek neighborhood. So essentially, that's what I wanted to point out to you and make that request known. But we're very happy that they are moving to that location, an industrial zone location. early in the 20th century.
I just want to let you know 5 minutes is up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay.
Do you need another 30 seconds?
Lawrence had a dump like half a block from here. That was then changed. We had a landfill out on Wakarusa, which was Drag Strip Road. That is now a Superfund site and was shut down in 1971. They did the floodplain landfill upstream from Lawrence on the river. That is now shut down as a Superfund site. And now we have the Hams landfill. I don't want something like this to turn into a Superfund site. If they continued at 12th and Haskell, it could very well have gotten to that point. So I'm glad we're going in a positive direction. I want to make sure we really get there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We had another speaker.
Good evening, commissioners and staff. My name is Melinda Henderson, and I am speaking only for myself tonight. I live within 200 feet of the current location, so I was part of the effort to work with Mr. Kello to either bring his current site into compliance or find a new location. So I definitely want to be on the record thanking Mr. Kello for putting in the time and effort and expense to relocate to an appropriately zoned location. While I'm speaking only for myself tonight, I know that many others in the neighborhood are also happy that he's moving on to a much better location. I just have a couple of questions. One of the big issues that we had in Brook Creek neighborhood, especially when you were, you know, within a very close radius, was the noise that was associated with the crushing of the cars and other metal objects. And at one point in time, Mr. Kello had looked into the idea of possibly providing a sound barrier to try to block some of the sound coming from the metal crushing. And I know that's not on this current site plan, but I would like to ask that he keep that option in mind when once his operation's up and running. Mr. McClure had indicated that he might, you know, have some issues being so close. And I do volunteer at Just Food once a week, so that was a big concern of mine, that the noise with the crushing and processing could become distracting. I do understand that Mr. Kello has purchased the Just Foods building and has been working very closely with Jeremy Farmer, the executive director, and it sounds like they've got a great working relationship, so I'm very happy about that as well. The only other question I have is on the site plan, which it's not clear to me exactly where the crushing operations will be. I understand that it will be outdoors, and to address Michael's question on the actual recycling processing facility itself, there is, it looks like this facility right here is going to be where they're going to be doing that, and that's an enclosed facility. And that's good. We're very happy about that. So perhaps either Mr. Kello or Mr. Finkeldye could indicate exactly where in the site plan they plan to be doing the actual crushing of the cars and the metal. That would really be my only question. So again, I'm very happy to see this. Coming to relocating to a better area in the community, and
I will be happy to bring my recyclables down every day, every week when I volunteer at Just Food. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Traditionally, as the public hearing comes to a close, is there anybody else? Please come up.
My name is Linda Klinker. I am a member of Cans for the Community. Linda Klinker, member of Cans for the Community. I'm just here to say hallelujah. We're happy that he may have a new place, and we don't have to worry about where to take our thousands of cans every week. Cans for the Community is a local group. We're all volunteers. We don't have any paid staff, no office. We recycle aluminum cans. All of them have gone to Bo at 12th and Haskell. We are approaching 7 million in recyclables, and we just gave $1,000 away to the Lawrence Children's Choir last week, which brings our donations to $97,000 to our community just from recycling cans. So I'm just here to say thank you. I think Bo's done a really good job getting this relocation site, and we're all excited, and we totally support him. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion from the public? All right, as I was going to say, traditionally we then turn back to the applicant, who I think under these circumstances can certainly address some of the specific questions that were raised by the community.
Yes, we can answer a few of those questions. Here's the site plan. Little Hodge, this is the proposed exterior storage for iron and cars here, with some overflow over here. So this is where the iron would be processed. That's the metal pile. And again, if you've not been to the current operation, those, depending on, you know, people pile the iron in a pile and then it's loaded on a truck and shipped out. And, you know, depending on the day, depends how big the pile is, depends how much is coming. During this heat wave, there's not much coming in. There's not much being moved. But it'd be in that area. And I would highlight, Ms. Henderson was talking about the sound wall, which is something that was discussed at the other location. If you can see all through here, this is where the big stand of trees is. And it's a very massive stand of trees, which is owned by the railroad. So we can't guarantee that the trees will always be there, but they've been there for a long time, and we have no reason, this is an abandoned spur here, so there's no reason to believe they're going to do anything with that. And if they do, something might change. We have a very large expanse of trees here and open ground where that will be buffered. And so more of the activities at this location will be inside than at the current location, but we certainly do not agree with Mr. Allman that there should be a condition that all activities occur inside. And certainly the code doesn't require that, and we believe we have a sufficient operation where it's at. So, and obviously with Mr. McClure, obviously we want to be involved in that process as he has specific concerns as this goes on, or operational concerns. We can certainly work with him. I know he did say things about the fence, where the fence is today is going to stay. The entrance is all noted on here. The gate that's there today is where the entrance is into the property. So the fences and the gates aren't going to change. The access is still the same. This is the Just Food building that you heard referenced that Mr. Kilo also purchased. And then he purchased this building as well, and it's now owned by the City of Lawrence as of last week, and they're going to run the parks operation out of that location. So we request your support and allow Mr. Killo to move his operation and move it to a location that we're glad to hear the neighbors support, and help him get to the City Commission, then move on and get his operation moved.
Thank you very much. Sandy, just because a few questions were raised about the plan, about the indoors and the fence, and is there anything else you are Scott?
I've had the pleasure of being part of this process for a long time now, so I might take a stab at it. There's really two primary uses on this property. One is a collection facility, which by definition is indoors, and that's a permitted use without any special use permit. And the reason we're here tonight is because a second primary use is the scrap and salvage operations, which is an exterior use. And there are some use standards associated with scrap and salvage operations in terms of screening and pile height, but that's only when it's adjacent to a collector or arterial road. In this case, it's a property that doesn't have any direct road frontage, and our analysis concludes that it's got plenty of natural landscaping and that it doesn't need very much. Compare that to last month's project, which was the Advantage Metals project, where we spent a lot of time on an arterial road issues, addressing the gateway issues and the aesthetics and those sorts of things. And so the code does not require that the scrap and salvage operations be contained within a building. It does require that a collection facility for recycling does. We think there's two primary uses, and so we think the site plan is code compliant at this point.
Thank you. We've heard from the applicant, from the public, and from staff. I want to thank those who came forward from the public to tell us your thoughts on the project. We particularly appreciate when you give us that context, especially when it's not because of a protest, but because you want us to hear your perspective. So on behalf of the commission, thank you very much for being here. That said, let's move it up here to the commissioners, where we will discuss, ask questions, and move on this application. Commissioner Hurd.
I have a question for Mr. McClure. What is that building used for? Where'd you go?
Out here.
Oh, okay. What's your building used for currently?
Come on up so we can get you on the microphone.
Sorry.
I'm a geologist. I do environmental consulting and site investigations, and mostly I just store my equipment in there. So I'm not there very often. My concern is primarily, I'm getting old, I'm not going to do this forever. Someday I'm going to sell that building, and I'm more concerned about the property value in the future. Okay. I'm not concerned about the operation that Bo's going to do.
Okay.
That won't interfere with me.
So. Very good, thank you.
Commissioners, questions, discussion, motions? Absolutely.
Who, if anyone, monitors the sites for industrial sites for ecological impact, fumes, groundwater pollution, the sorts of things that Mr. Allman was addressing?
Commissioners, as I understand it, the scrap and salvage operation requires a permit from KDOT, a license from KDOT, and Mr. Finkeldine may be able to respond a little bit to this too, or Bo, who's familiar with it. KDHE responds to complaints about different ecological concerns. And so we've had a little bit of that at the current location, and that would be the response that we would garner from any kind of complaint out of the site.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Commissioner Blazer.
I have a question kind of along this line, but it also involves Your point seven is that the owner is responsible for maintaining the property especially in a litter-free manner. Is there an inspection process every year or something, or is it only by neighbor complaint or customer complaint?
No, we wanted to, I mean, it's a part of the code, but we wanted to highlight this because these are some of the issues that exist at the current location that we've received complaints on. And we wanted to make it clear that we had kind of a higher level of enforcement with the special use permit if we highlighted it in the conditions, in that both the applicant knows and we've got the ability to go forward with an enforcement action to actually rescind the permit if it becomes of such a nature that it demands City Commission review in the future. So in other words, if we get a complaint from Mr. McClure that the property isn't being maintained in a litter-free manner, trash is piling up against his fence, we make contact with the owner and the operator and waive the special use permit condition in front of them and talk about what the code implications are for that.
I have another question.
Yes, sir.
I just love acronyms. What's DSSA?
I knew.
Downstream Sanitary Sewer Analysis. That's a study required of these kinds of projects. Make sure there's capacity in the city system.
Thank you.
Commissioner Van Auken.
Could you go on and discuss that a little bit, because it says that additional documentation is required for the sanitary sewer analysis. Could you explain?
Yeah, we don't anticipate there being any issue with the sanitary sewer system, but for our records and for our files, it's a requirement to be fulfilled for this process. And so it's just a condition before we can release any kind of occupancy permits for any of the structures that we get that in our record.
All right. I hear no other discussion. That leaves us with one other alternative. Motion? Somebody? Anybody?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
May I?
You may.
I would move for approval of SUP 050412, a special use permit for a scrap and salvage operation in conjunction with a recycling collection and processing center, based on finding the fact and also including all of the 9 recommendations, which are conditions for this permit.
All right, second.
Second.
Commissioner Culver seconds it. Any further discussion before we vote on it? All right, all in favor, raise your hand, please. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Unanimous. Thank you very much. Again, thank you to the public for joining us. All right. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening. I'm Mary Miller, a current planner.
I'm just going to explain that this item here is actually going to be 4 items all combined. Mary's going to make a presentation that will cover all of it. Technically, 2 are public hearings and 2 are non-public hearings, but we won't distinguish when you finish. We'd be happy to hear from anybody who would be relevant. Thank you.
Okay. As you mentioned, item 3 contains several portions. This is related to about a 1/3 acre property for pump station 15, and it will include the annexation of the property into the city limits, rezoning from the A and VC, which are county zonings, it's agriculture and valley channel, to the OSFP district, the open space with the floodplain management regulations overlay. There'll be a preliminary plat for a 1-lot subdivision and also a special use permit for the construction of the minor utility, the pump station. The subject property is located at 240 Michigan, 240 North Michigan. It's just south of I-70 and west of the Kansas River. This is the 1/3 acre highlighted. This was recently acquired by the city through a condemnation proceedings in 2012 for about 1/3 acre. The existing pump station is just, I may not have it exactly right, but I believe it's just to the west of Michigan, and it's going to be relocated to the east, so it'll be on city-owned property. This location was determined to be the optimal location for relocation of this pump station due to the existing location of sanitary sewer lines and the topography. And the applicant's representative is here tonight if you have more questions about why this site was chosen. We received a request today from one of the commissioners to provide a map showing the existing service area and then the new service area with the relocation of pump station 15. And the applicant provided this map. The area in yellow is the existing service area. Pump station 15 will be located just to the south of this blue parcel, and then everything in blue will be the area that could be serviced with sanitary sewer once pump station 15 is constructed. We've done three pump stations recently within about the last 6 months, 35, 37, and now 15, and these were all part of the city's wastewater master plan to upgrade existing facilities. And part of the upgrade will be that the facility, which is now above ground, this is the one where I was saying is on the west side of Michigan, it's above ground and all the mechanics are above ground. With the new facilities, these will be located underground. And so there's less maintenance issues and less potential for malfunctioning. There will be the meter board above ground and a vent. And the only public communication I've received on this up to this point were several people calling to inquire as to what the pump station was going to be and what was the purpose. I did not receive any concerns. A lot of people weren't aware that there was an existing pump station on the west side of Michigan Street that was being relocated. The first item is item 3A. That's the annexation for approximately 1/3 acre. This does comply with the city's annexation policy. The property is adjacent to other city property, so it's not an island annexation. There are no rural water district facilities. Just they don't provide service in this area, so there's no need to compensate rural water district. And one of the other requirements is that it's possible to serve the property with city utilities. However, in this case, this property will be serving surrounding areas with utilities. And so it meets the requirement for annexation, and staff recommends that the Planning Commission approve the annexation request and forward it on to the City Commission with a recommendation for approval. Typically, Planning Commission recommendation is not needed for annexations of less than 10 acres, but as this was all part of one development packet, we just wanted to provide it all as one packet. With the rezoning, I mentioned it was going to be rezoned to the FP, Floodplain Management Regulations Overlay District. This shows the floodplain in green, so the entire property is currently encumbered with a floodplain. It's currently zoned A for agriculture and VC for Valley Channel. This is kind of an older county zoning district before the designation of the floodplain, which was meant to protect areas that were flood prone. With the annexation into the city, it would be zoned to an appropriate urban zoning district, which would be OS or open space. The comprehensive plan recommends zoning things that are within the floodplain to open space. Open space permits a limited number of uses, and minor utilities are one of those permitted uses. So staff does recommend approval of the rezoning request to the OS-FP district. With the preliminary plat, I mentioned it's a one-lot plat. It'll be a lot of approximately 11,160 square feet. The right-of-way for Michigan Street will be enlarged to 40 feet here, as Michigan Street is a collector and requires 40 feet of right-of-way. There are no variances associated with the preliminary plat, and staff recommends that the Planning Commission approves a plat. With the SUP, this is the site plan, which shows what the development proposal is for the property. This shows the area that will have the location for the truck to pull in so that they can access the pump station off of Michigan Street. Currently, the existing pump station, the trucks have to park in Michigan Street because there is no access. So this will be a great improvement for the area. With the floodplain, the manhole needs to be elevated 1 foot above base flood elevation, and so you can see there will be grading, about 6 foot grading change, and so this will be elevated. In order to minimize the impact on the property owner, which is to the northeast, this section of the property will not be damaged during construction, so the trees and the vegetation will remain there to provide a buffer, kind of a screen from that property. As you can see on the site, special use site plan, there are 5 street trees being installed, and this is also just to screen the facility from the street, primarily because it's going to be raised about 6 feet with that retaining wall. And this is another, just a detail showing how it's going to be laid out with the meter board. And there was a variance approved by the Board of Zoning Appeals to allow the meter board to be within the side setback. The OS has a 15-foot side setback, but the BZA did approve it to allow it to encroach within the setback. And these are the elevations, which will show the facility. You see the retaining wall and then the railing that's required to be put on the top. But the only exterior facility will be the meter board that will be visible from the street or from the north side. So staff recommends approval of the special use permit subject to the conditions of approval. One of those was a revision of the plan with certain notes, and the other one is that the floodplain development permit be approved. And so just going through the different requests, we recommend approval of the annexation request, approval of the forwarding of the rezoning request to the City Commission, approval of the preliminary plat, and approval and forwarding of the special use permit to the City Commission, subject to the conditions noted in the staff report.
Thank you. Mr. McCullough, do we need batteries in the clicker? As I said earlier, some of this, well, we have, it's a city request, but you said we have an applicant? All right, we'd be delighted to hear from you.
My name is David Lee. I'm a land surveyor with Professional Engineering Consultants. We've been working with city staff to engineer and develop these sites. I don't have much to add to what Mary presented. She did a great job of presenting that. One thing with this particular pump station, this is the third one in the group that we've done. This particular pump station, the existing location where it's at, the way that it's configured, if there is a power outage or mechanical failure, city staff has roughly 10 to 15 minutes to mobilize and get to the site before it starts causing problems, sewage backup, those sorts of things, into the adjacent apartments. With this new site, and the way that it's being designed, they will have 40 to 45 minutes to get there and take care of the problem before it creates any additional problem to the neighbors. And that is really the gist of what I've got to offer. I'm sure there will be some questions, and I'll be happy to try to answer those.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, so how many people are here for this item? I therefore open and close the public hearing and bring it back up here to commissioners for discussion, questions, or
I have a question for staff or the designer. With other pump stations that have been installed throughout the city, what means of preventing children to access the boards and the equipment exist? And is there a uniform kind of design? I know that this is elevated, but I can't quite tell. It looks to me like it'd be something that could be very attractive to children in the neighborhood to try to access, jumping over walls and things.
I believe those panels are locked. Certainly the manhole covers, those you can't just go up there and lift them and get into them. So those things are secure as they can be in an open space.
But there's no... the platform itself, is it secured? Is it locked?
No, there is not any gate or anything like that that would prevent somebody from walking up into that area.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate, I'll go ahead and start the motions.
It would be appropriate. We'll do them one at a time.
Okay. I would move for approval of the requested annexation of approximately 15,960 square feet and adjacent right-of-way, and forwarding the request to the City Commission with a recommendation approval based upon the findings in the staff report.
So we have a motion for A, which is annexation only. Second? Commissioner Van Arken, second. Any discussion on this? Yes, Commissioner Berger?
I'll vote for this motion with the explanation that I am somewhat concerned about the safety of the design, and I hope that that can be addressed if needed.
We're still able to discuss. If you have questions of staff about safety, it'd be a fine time to ask.
Well, I just, it sounds to me like maybe this is the first one that they've elevated.
Commissioner Berger, I wish someone from Utilities was here and that David can talk a little bit about the others we're designing, but I've not heard that there's been any safety issues at any of our other pump stations. If there are, we would certainly address them appropriately and make them secure.
Do you want to put the picture up again? And maybe Commissioner Berger might be able to ask about specific facets of it, the vent or the boxes or whatever the concern is.
I believe this is a fairly common design with these above ground pump stations.
There we go. Thank you.
In this picture, you see that there's a fence that goes behind it.
Could you point, if you have a particular? Same batteries as the ones in the clicker. There you go.
See, there's a fence running back here, and that fence is of a height that it would be very difficult for young people obviously, if somebody really wanted to get over it, they could, but I'm thinking more young children, that they couldn't get over that fence without significant help. So I wouldn't be concerned if it had a fence like this, but I'm not seeing on the drawing, and maybe I'm not seeing the detail of the drawing.
Yeah, there is no fence to this degree planned. There's a railing that is planned to go around the top of the retaining wall, but that's it. That's all that we're planning.
All right, thank you very much. We're still in discussion on annexation 3A. Other discussion, questions, concerns? Given none, those who wish to vote in the affirmative, please do so by raising your hand. It is 1, 2, 3, and those opposed? 3. Okay, unanimous. Thank you. Okay, let's move to item 3B. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for approval of the rezoning request for approximately 15,960 square feet from A Agricultural District and County Valley Channel to OSFP Open Space with Floodplain Management Regulations Overlay District, and forwarding it to the City Commission with a recommendation for approval based upon the findings of fact found in the body of the staff report.
Can you say that open space floodplain overlay 3 times fast?
Nope.
Okay. I tried.
I'll second the motion.
He seconds it. Commissioner Blazer. All right. Any other discussion? All in favor, raise your hand, please. It's unanimous. Thank you. Would you like to proceed with 3C?
Sure. excuse me. This is a preliminary plat. I would move for approval of the preliminary plat of pump station number 15. I guess I'll add based upon the findings of fact in the staff report. You can always add that.
Second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Blazer seconds. Discussion? Vote? All in favor? It's unanimous. Would you like to hit a grand slam home run here?
Yeah. I get the exciting pump stations. Mr. Chairman, I would move for approval of SUP 5-6-12, special use permit for pump station number 15, based upon the findings of fact presented in the staff report and subject to the conditions set forth in the staff report.
Second?
Second.
All righty. Discussion? All right. Anybody wishing to vote in favor may raise their hand now. And again, it's unanimous. Thank you. We are finished with items 3A through D. Thank you to the applicant. Thank you, Mary. Next item is the request by land plan for the VFW. How many people are here from that? We welcome you. Delighted to see you all.
Good evening, Commissioners. Michelle Leininger, Planning Staff. Item 4 is a request for rezoning from the IG District to the IL District, 1.74 acres. That's actually probably going to change for the address. Subject property is highlighted in blue. The current address is 2645 Haskell. To the north is residential zoning, single-family residence. It's developed with some large lot residential zoning or residential structures. The property immediately surrounding the subject property is also zoned IG. Currently, the property is technically vacant. There is some exterior storage happening on the site. The property owners would like to develop the property with a lodge fraternal and civic assembly use, which is not a permitted use in the IG district. The property would remain an industrial district. IG is our highest intensity industrial district. IL is our, I would say, lowest intensity industrial district. There is a lower intensity district, the industrial office park, business park district. So keeping the property would remain in industrial zoning, that that would remain consistent with Horizon 2020. You did receive a communication in your packet that was added today. Just to clarify, this is just the rezoning. The property owner would still need to complete the site plan application process. And that during that process is where we would address any sort of buffer yards, fencing between the residential and the industrial property. Industrial to industrial doesn't require any buffer yards, but definitely the industrial to the residential to the north would require some landscaping, potentially a fence to address those mitigation of potential issues. Staff recommends approval of the rezoning and recommends forwarding that approval to the City Commission.
Thank you, Michelle. All right, this is item 4, and we have an applicant.
C.L. Maurer with Land Plan Engineering. I'm here representing the VFW.
Can you repeat your name?
C.L. Maurer.
C.L.
I'm here to answer any questions. I mean, right now it's just a simple rezoning. We still have to go to site planning and all the other things that letter was bringing up. It mentioned that we got communications today. But, I'm here just to answer any questions. I mean, what we're going to do is just, they're moving from their existing VFW to this location. Questions?
we generally go to the public, and then if we have questions, we'll be happy to ask. Thank you. Appreciate it. This is a public hearing item, and we are always interested in what the public has to say. How many of you anticipate speaking, or are you just here for moral support?
Just so there's something bad that's said.
We're grateful to you for what you do for veterans.
We appreciate you helping us.
Thank you. Is there anybody from the public who'd like to speak? All right, I open and close this public hearing, and you'd have an opportunity to speak again, but you'd only be rebuking what you said. So it's up here at the commissioners. Any motions? You've been motioning a lot tonight. How about the newbies?
That would be me.
Go for it, Mon.
I make a motion to approve the rezoning for 2645 Haskell Avenue based on the findings of the staff report and on the conditions listed within that.
Nicely done. Thank you. Second? Commissioner Berger seconds it. Discussion?
I have a question. The motion referenced conditions in the staff report. I'm
Let me clarify that, Commissioner. The findings, there were no conditions in the staff report.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by raising your hand. That's unanimous. We thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come back anytime.
Thank you for your service.
Item number 5 is a rezoning from RSO and CS to CO for 2000 Bluffs Drive. This is the subject property. It's actually technically two pieces of property. This is one portion of it. Second portion is undeveloped here. This is 6th Street, and here is McDonald Drive and Iowa Street to the south. Subject property is surrounded by a mix of residential to the north and east, and then again to the south, and then surrounded also to the east and to the west with CS commercial strip zoning. This proposal is more of a correction. The previous code permitted the office use as it was constructed in 2006 when we had the adoption of the land development code, the RO2 converted to the RSO, and the RSO contains some standards regarding the maximum size of office space permitted in the district. This created a non-conforming situation with this property. It was nothing that the property owner did to create this. This is a situation where we are trying to make the property conforming because it was nothing that the property owner did. That way, the property is all one zoning, it's conforming, and makes it a little more clean for potential financial transactions and such in the future. I just pulled out a few of the differences between the RSO and CO. Property's currently a split zoning. It's a commercial strip, which pretty much permits all retail, eating establishment types of uses. So I really focused on the RSO and then the CO. The RSO permits residential uses where the CO does not, so that use would be removed. The RSO permits very minimal eating establishments. The CO offers a little bit more of a range. Fast order food use does not permit drive-through portion of it. That's a separate use. So it would be more of a Jimmy John's walk-in type of thing, I guess. Jimmy John's on 23rd Street has a drive-up, but it's beside the point. As far as retail sales and services, the RSO really limits it to personal improvement uses. The CO offers a little bit more of the general retail sales, mixed media, food and beverage, and business support uses. So it's a little more on the commercial side, a little less on the residential side. Staff recommends approval of the rezoning, recommends forwarding that to the City Commission. The city is technically the applicant on this project, but there are representatives of the property owners here if you have any questions.
I bet I can guess who they are. Come on up.
Mr. Chair, member of the commission, Chris Lemke, DST Realty of Lawrence. This rezoning, like staff has said, is a result of the 2006 adoption of the development code. We have no plans to change our call center operations that are currently there. And in fact, we really have plans to expand that operation there from it currently is employing approximately 335 people to expand that by 8 to 10% over the next 2 years. So staff has been great in assisting us with this matter, and we're just here for any questions or concerns you may have. Thank you.
Thank you for that. This is a public hearing item, but seeing no public, unless you want to be the public and come up too.
Thank you. My name is Brian Engel with the King Hershey Law Firm in Kansas City, Missouri, and I represent IFDS Realty LLC, which is the proposed purchaser of this property, and we've been in negotiations with DST to buy this this property, and that is what triggered this review of the zoning situation. And of course, as a new buyer, as a new owner of the property, our main concern was, should there be a fire or a major casualty to the building, we wouldn't be able to rebuild it without going through a rezoning or a variance process at some point in the future. And so this is a much cleaner way to handle the zoning situation. Would like to thank Scott McCullough and Michelle for their assistance. Been tremendous. It's been a big help to us. And so would just like to voice support for the rezoning and the staff report.
Thank you for clarifying that. It's helpful. Did we just have a public hearing? Okay. Mary, you want to be in the public? Okay. You're sitting in the public chair. I guess I'll close the public hearing and bring it back up here unless the applicant has anything else to say. Following the public hearing, we often ask the applicant back. Did you have anything else?
Nothing further, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much. Coming up here to the commissioners. Questions? Discussion? Motions? Commissioner Hurd.
I have a question that may go to the applicant or staff might be able to answer this. I'm looking at the aerial shot that you had the blue outline of the property. There you go. The portion in the southeast corner that's south of the access road, what are there plans to develop that?
There are no plans to change any of the buildings or to develop anything out. And not to speak for staff, but if there were plans that were brought forward in the future, it would require another public hearing with a site plan approval. But we have no plans for any change to the property. Just by way of kind of explanation, IFDS Realty LLC is a joint venture between DST and State Street Bank. It's currently occupied by BFDS, which is Boston Financial Data, which is the same joint venture, 50-50. So we're virtually just changing while DST is maintaining its presence there, we're changing the ownership structure of it for corporate purposes. Thank you.
If there were any changes to the site, they would have to go through the site plan process, but it is an administrative process, so there's no public hearing.
Commissioners, other commissioners. Commissioner Van Auken.
I move to approve the request to rezone approximately 6.87 acres from RSO district and CS district to CO district based on the findings presented in the staff report and forwarding it to the City Commission with a recommendation for approval.
Thank you for that motion. I need a second. Commissioner Culver seconds that motion. More discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Any opposed? No, it's unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us this evening. We have a miscellaneous item. How does something qualify as miscellaneous, Mr. McCullough?
When it doesn't hit the Planning Commission packet on time and we have to put it on. At a late but appropriate time. It doesn't
Thank
require
you for
notice, so it's it's something that just requires agenda notice.
Thank you for that clarification.
Mary Miller, current planner. And this item is a variance. It's associated with a minor subdivision, MS 5812, for the St. John Catholic Church on Kentucky Street. I don't know, it's just me, if I just have the right kind of electrical charge. But if somebody could just hit the button. I'm just losing all my confidence.
April Fool.
Thank you. This star shows the approximate location of the St. John Catholic Church and School on Kentucky. It's between Kentucky and Vermont and then 12th and 13th Street. When we were reviewing the minor subdivision, we looked at all the street, the bounding streets, to see if they had the required right-of-way, and they all did except for the street to the east, which is Vermont Street. And that only had 50 feet of right-of-way in this location. So then you look at the plat to see how the right-of-way was platted, but this portion of Lawrence was platted with the original town site, and actually Vermont Street did not extend with that plat. So this right-of-way was dedicated at a later time, and I was not able to find the dedication of the right-of-way so I could tell you when it was dedicated, but I'm assuming it was back in the early 1900s or late 1800s. And you can see on this graphic that it shows this is the 60 feet of right-of-way for Vermont, which was shown on the plat, and this is the 50-foot portion that was extended through. There were some minor changes to the plat. South Park was slightly smaller, and they made it smaller with the plat, and that way they were able to add the Vermont Street extension in. We wanted to, the applicant requested that the right-of-way be allowed to remain at 50 feet. So we checked with our city engineer to see if we had any plans to widen Vermont Street in this area, and he said that no, he had no objection to the right-of-way remaining 50. This is in the environs of historical properties, so we checked with our historic resource administrator. She not only had no objections to the right-of-way remaining at 50 feet, she would recommend it stay at 50 feet to maintain the historical development pattern of the area. And so based on the findings of fact in the staff report, staff recommends approval of the variance request to allow the right-of-way, and this kind of shows an aerial to show the development on that block. And the applicant had indicated that the buildings along Vermont Street are fairly close to the right-of-way now, and if additional right-of-way was taken, that would just increase the distance to the right-of-way, and since this is an elementary school, they'd like to not have that closer to the right-of-way. And that was their explanation of the unnecessary hardship of adding additional right-of-way. And so staff does recommend approval of the variance. The minor subdivision will be processed administratively, but we do have to have the variance approved by the Planning Commission.
Thank you. Is this a public hearing item? All right, then I won't open or close that public hearing. Questions, discussion? I have a question. On this cool old map on page 108 in our packet, were those the old names for the streets?
Mm-hmm.
And they were just kind of done away with?
Right, I think they were Civil War generals, I believe, most of those streets, and they became numbered streets later.
That's way cool. That's my comment. Anyone else? How about a motion then? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion. Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the variance associated with minor subdivision for St. John Catholic Church from the 60-foot right-of-way requirement for local streets to allow the right-of-way to remain at 50 feet.
Thank you. Do I? Yes.
Second, Chair.
Good job.
Good job.
Fine job. Discussion? All right. I think we're nearing the end of our meeting, so let's vote. All in favor, please raise your hand. Unanimous. Is there any discussion or new items or new business or any such stuff? How about Commissioner Culver, do you have anything you want to tell us about our mid-month coming up? Or
we updated the mid-month calendar to include the topics for the upcoming months. And I know one of them we're going to talk a little bit more about the legal and ethical part of our role as a planning commission. We're also going to talk about the preparing for meetings and the structure. Is that correct? And then also the comp plan and what the process is for reviewing that and going forward. So we thought that those would be applicable and pertinent topics to round out the year and then populate the calendar for next year. So.
And is that still a one-hour meeting? I mean, is that then a one-hour meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other new business? Any other old business? Any other anything? Okay, you ready? We're adjourned.
All right. Brilliant. Brilliant. Great job.
I think that was a
number. You know,
that was
it was really nothing that was.
Everything was.